ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನ ಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರ್ ಉನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಃ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶ ತಾರಿಣಿ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ರಾಮ. ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ನಿತ್ಯ ಕರೋಪಾನ್ ಜಾಹಾ ಹೋಯ್ತೆ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ತತ್ವ ಜ್ಞಾನ್. ಅವರ್ ವೆರಿ ಬಿಲವಡ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಕೃಷ್ಣದಾಸ್ ಕವಿರಾಜ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಇನ್ ದ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ನಿತ್ಯ ಕರೋಪಾನ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಔಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಡೇ. ನಿತ್ಯ ಕರೋಪಾನ್, ದ ವರ್ಡ್ ಪಾನ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟು ಟೇಸ್ಟ್, ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಆಸ್ವಾದನ್, ಟು ರೆಲಿಶ್. ಸೊ ಕವಿರಾಜ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಬೈ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ರೆಲಿಶಿಂಗ್ ದ ಪಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಜಾಹಾ ಹೋಯ್ತೆ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ತತ್ವಜ್ಞಾನ್. ಒನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಒನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟಾಟಿಕ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್. ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೊಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗೇನಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಹೆಡ್ ದ ವೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಹೆಡ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ರೀಸಸ್, ರೈಟ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಅಪ್ ಬಿಕಮಿಂಗ್ PhDs ಹಿಯರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕಿಂಡರ್ ಗಾರ್ಡನ್ಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್. Because when life tests us, the heart speaks, not the head. On the Vyasasana, the head is speaking. But when life tests, the head doesn't work anymore. It's the heart. It's very easy to say, yes, Prabhu, I am your servant. But as soon as Krishna jumped into the Yamuna, the hoods of Kaliya came out. And that's exactly what happens. When people throw stones into the water pond of our consciousness, either it can create ripples of ecstasy seeing Krishna's hand, or it can agitate our consciousness. Small things. We leave our chappal outside and we come inside, we don't find the chappal, and that agitates us. And then one chappal you get, you don't get the other, that is even more agitating. If you don't get both, then at least you can let go and you can walk the path of renunciation. But you get one chappal and then you don't get the other, that's a problem, right? The smallest thing can agitate. Everybody gets khichdi. We also get khichdi, no problem. Everybody gets roti sabji, dal rice with sweet, and we get khichdi, that's a problem, right? So what is the tipping point? What is the point after which we start getting agitated? Varies depending on the consciousness. The lower the consciousness, the tipping point is also low. Very quickly we can get agitated on the smallest things possible. And then we can justify it very wonderfully. No, you said it, that's why I got agitated. But the more advanced the consciousness, the point of agitation, the point of tipping is so high that even if Hiranyakashipu tries his best, it doesn't reach the tipping point of Prahlad. He's trying his best. Hiranyakashipu is trying to torture to the best of his ability. Think about it. It is not that Hiranyakashipu has had a department to take care of the killing of Prahlad. He is personally supervising. He is personally undertaking the task. And it's not that he has a lot of tasks to take care, therefore killing Prahlad is just one out of many, and therefore he forgets or he doesn't do his job well. It isn't like that. For Hiranyakashipu, the only job, the only thing that is in his mind is the destruction of Prahlad. 330 million demigods are cutting vegetables in his kitchen. That's how great Hiranyakashipu was as far as taking charge of control in the lives of others. Even Indra would tremble just by the movement of the eyebrow of Hiranyakashipu. Not the movement of the hand, but the eyebrow. It's like the smallest part on the face. It's not the smile, it's not the words, it's not the expression, just the eyebrow. And Indra is not a normal demigod. Actually, demigods are not normal, but Indra is not normal. He's the king of demigods. How powerful was Hiranyakashipu? He had army with him. He had weapons with him. He had studied all the shastras possible. Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, when we hear them speak, it's like they're pure devotees. They know all the philosophy. They know all the shlokas. They know all the commentaries. They know all the stories. They know all the inferences and the purports and the commentaries and the conclusions of everything. What makes them a demon? They don't follow it. Sometimes we think demons don't know philosophy. Well, they know. They know all the philosophy. If we hear Kamsa speak, if we hear Ravana speak, it's jaw-dropping scholarship. Jatatavi galat jala pravaha pavitastale galeva lamba lambetam bhujanga tunda malikam dhamad 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 ninadamar vayam chakara chanda tandavam tako tarotuna shiva shivam. This composition was coming from the heart of Ravana, the famous Shiva Tandava Stotram. Very powerful personality. Kamsa, very powerful personality. It's described his arms had the power of 10,000 maddened elephants. Not elephants. 10,000 maddened, intoxicated elephants. Arms of Kamsa. Yes. Especially when Krishna comes to slam Kamsa in Mathura. The Mathuravasis are concerned for Krishna. Because they know the power of Kamsa. So Ravana, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, they're all very powerful. And Hiranyakashipu's only agenda is to murder Prahlad. And it doesn't agitate Prahlad. He can peacefully sleep. He can peacefully honor prasadam. He can peacefully chant the holy name. Because his tipping point doesn't exist. He doesn't get agitated. Because he sees the hand of Krishna. He sees the hand of Krishna. So Kaviraj Goswami describes that when somebody studies Chaitanya Charitamrita, not just knowledge of the head, but the consciousness lotus blossoms to such an extent that all good qualities come in. And even when there are reasons to get agitated, the person doesn't get agitated. For a conditioned soul, when there are no reasons to get agitated, he gets agitated. No reason, absolutely. I'm not saying reasons, no reason. Singular. And he gets agitated. Holds it against people for years. It's almost verbal fights over small things. Fighting in the Supreme Court. Divorces. Fighting between brothers for property. Murder. Extortion. What not. The greatest crime for the smallest reason. Blowing up countries, blowing up cities, blowing up structures. Communal rights. Between castes, between religions, between nations. For the smallest things possible. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, when we hear the pastimes of the Lord, the lotus of our heart opens to such an extent that we will see the hand of Krishna in everything. And therefore, there's no agitation. There's absolutely no agitation. Simple example. When we get into a martial arts coaching class, let's say you start taking lessons on martial arts. And here is the teacher who's fighting with the student. Not because he envies the student, but because he wants the student to be better than where he is at this point. So sometimes he may punch him, or sometimes he may slam him down. But now if the student starts thinking that the teacher hates me, every time I go to the class, he takes me as a punching bag and punches me. Is that the right understanding? That is not. And that student will never grow because he will not go to such classes because he sees that as something detrimental to his happiness. But on the other hand, if he's convinced that his martial arts teacher loves him and just wants him to get better and better and better, so any punch, it's only to check how his defense is. And if the defense is good, then he can protect. If not, that's a scope where he can work on. So we are convinced that Krishna is our best ever well-wishing martial arts teacher. And this world is the classroom of martial arts. So when we get punches and blows and kicks in life, it's not because somebody else envies us. It's because Krishna uses them as an instrument to punch us to see how much our consciousness has developed. We are just students of the Supreme Lord. Krishna is Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. He is our teacher. We are his student. Now, if you see that this person is doing, we have no connection to that person. So we don't see him as our well-wisher. And therefore, we won't take punches from anyone. Why would anyone come and punch or slap me? Right? But if you see that any reversal in life, anything for that matter, anything happy or anything sad, it's coming ultimately from Krishna. Three things actually. Krishna is the supreme controller. Right? Supreme controller. Which means every situation that comes on our plate has actually been sanctioned by Krishna. Because he's the controller. There's never a case when we will go to Krishna and say, why did this happen to me? And Krishna will say, well, I tried my best. That's all that I can do. I heard your japa. I know this is wrong. This is injustice. This shouldn't happen in your life. But what to do? Surya and Chandra are way more stronger. Rahu and Ketu are way more stronger. Krishna will never say that. Because every situation gets sanctioned by him. Everything. Everything happy, everything sad. Second, Krishna never makes mistakes. Because it's possible Krishna controlled it. Maybe it's possible Krishna sanctioned it. But then after sanctioning, he realizes, oh, I'm sorry. I gave the karma of the neighbor to this neighbor. You know, before the cell phone technology, we had landlines in India. And sometimes in the middle of the night, you'll have out of station cross connections. Somebody will call someone else. And at 2 o'clock at night, it rings and everyone at home wakes up thinking that, you know, we hope it's not a sad news from the village or something, you know, that someone passed away. So everyone goes close to the phone and then they pick up and the person says, "Ha, Suresh hai kya?" And there's no Suresh in the house. You say wrong number and you put down. Krishna will never give a cross connection like that. That, oh, I'm sorry, the karma of this person came to this. I'm really sorry. I sanctioned it, but I made a mistake. My bad. Krishna will never say that. One, he's the supreme controller. Every situation gets sanctioned by him. Second, he never makes mistakes. Which means what we get is well calculated by him. Over lifetimes. We don't know ourselves as well as Krishna knows us. We don't love ourselves the way Krishna loves us. Because we see ourselves 30 years, 40 years, 50 years into this body. But Krishna knows us for the last 50 billion lifetimes. He knows every single thing that we have done, spoken, conceived, and even imagined. All the dreams, all the thoughts. And Krishna calculates. Loading, please wait. You know. But there's no error 404. Technical jokes. Never mind. If you don't get it, that's fine. It's a Bhagavatam class anyway. So Krishna knows us. Every situation gets sanctioned by him. Second, he never makes mistakes. So it's meant for me. And third, most important, Krishna loves me like no one else in the whole creation has ever loved me. For each one of us. Even we don't love ourselves the way Krishna loves us. Even our mothers can't love us the way Krishna loves us. Because when we were in our mother's womb, we had not seen our mother. Our mother had not seen us. We left the previous mother. We came into the new mother. Between the two mothers, who is the one protecting me? Who is the one loving me at that point and nourishing me in the womb? My mother gets attached to me after I'm born. But what about before I was born? Where was I? Krishna was loving me even then. It's just that I don't see his hand. So if I am convinced that Krishna is the supreme controller, if I am convinced that Krishna never makes mistakes, and if I am convinced that Krishna loves me, every situation that comes to me on my plate of life is actually a punch coming from my martial arts teacher called Krishna only to make me stronger in life. Only to see if I actually mean what I'm saying. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam vam jagadisha kamai. Really? And then if you're able to defend in life, that means what we are saying through prayer, we are actually there. Prahlad was there. Prahlad was instructing everyone, see Krishna in everything. The last instruction Prahlad Maharaj gave his friends was see Krishna in all circumstances. See Krishna in everything. And Narsingadev thought of testing Prahlad on the same principle that Prahlad preached. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where is your Vishnu? And Prahlad had just preached that Vishnu is everywhere. And he had told his classmates, just see Vishnu everywhere. And now when Hiranyakashipu asked him, Prahlad Maharaj did not say, well, I don't know. He says he's in the heart, but I don't know. He says, he's everywhere. And that's when Hiranyakashipu slams the pillar. What about this pillar? And Prahlad Maharaj looks in the pillar. And there he sees Narsingadev warming up. Cracking his fingers and getting ready. And Prahlad Maharaj looks inside. What do I say? Narsingadev winks at him and says, I'm ready. And Hiranyakashipu slams the pillar. And there comes the Supreme Lord. Because Prahlad had won his heart by winning over the test. So many times we read this, we hear this, but when life pinches, we scream in our mother tongue. What does that mean? We can learn multiple languages, but when we are pinched in the sleep, we will always exclaim in our mother tongue. There's an age-old saying like that. Please don't try it at home. There's an age-old saying that if you pinch someone, they will always exclaim in their mother tongue. Although they may know 10 different languages, if you pinch, they will always say something in their own mother tongue. So which means we can act 10 different languages, which means in front of our spouse, in front of our family, in front of this community, we can act. But when Krishna pinches us through circumstances, we exclaim in the consciousness that we are in. We can act humble. Jai Shri Radha Madhav ki, Gaur Nitai ki, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Sudarshan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that by studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pastimes of Krishna and Mahaprabhu, what happens? The lotus of our consciousness blossoms, which means our responses in life will be better. How many times have all of us thought about it? When someone tells us something and we feel so tempted to give back a response, right? And we do that and later we repent. How many of us? Has anyone ever repented for saying something that they shouldn't have said? Right? And how many times, honestly, have we felt happy that we kept quiet in a very, very provocative situation? And later we felt, thank you, Krishna. Thank you for shutting my mouth at that point. Otherwise, I would have blabbered and blurted out something which I shouldn't have. Right? What gives us that strength? It is hearing about Krishna and chanting about him. You can read about Roti Sabji Dal Rice. You can hear about Roti Sabji Dal Rice. You can speak about Roti Sabji Dal Rice. You can even imagine Roti Sabji Dal Rice. But till the time you actually don't taste it, the body is going to be weak. Only after tasting, the body is going to be strong. Is it not? So we can speak about bhakti. We can speak about chanting. We can hear about bhakti. We can read about bhakti. We can even think about bhakti. But till the time we actually don't chant the holy name and engage in service, and we don't actually practically jump into the ocean of bhakti, our consciousness will not develop. Krishna consciousness is not simply about just putting on tilak and kantimala and change of dress. That is important. But it is Krishna consciousness. The consciousness lotus must blossom. Which means our responses to situations that we were giving 10 years ago and what we're giving now and what we will give 10 years ago is going to be, should be different. If 10 years ago we were agitated on small, small things, now we should gain the strength to overcome such circumstances. If Krishna conscious practice doesn't make us better individuals, then we are going wrong somewhere. There is never, ever, ever a circumstance when someone is a good devotee and a bad human being. Not possible. If someone is a bad human being, he can be a good devotee. Because a good devotee is not simply a devotee in the temple. He's a devotee in all circumstances. At home, at work, When he gains money, when he loses money, when he gains health, when he loses health, when someone glorifies him, when someone criticizes him. Why? Because he sees the hand of Krishna in everything. If we don't see the hand of Krishna, when something auspicious happens to us, we are happy. And when something inauspicious happens to us, we are sad. But when we are convinced, every circumstance comes through Krishna, who loves us. I may not be able to see it as happiness, but it is actually good for me. Please ask ourselves, when we stand for Charanamrit, for gaining Charanamrit in the temple or the lotus feet of the spiritual master, when we get Charanamrit, do we stand first analyzing, Pani ka Charanamrit hai ki Panchamrit hai? Are we asking ourselves, is it a Charanamrit out of water or is it out of Panchamrit with honey and, you know, yogurt and all of these things? We don't, right? We don't care. For us, the fact that it is Charanamrit, it has touched the lotus feet of the Lord, that's all that matters. Whether it's made out of water or milk or Panchamrit, doesn't matter. Similarly, whether it's happiness or distress, the fact that it has touched the body of the Lord, life becomes Charanamrit for us. We accept every circumstance, irrespective of whatever it is, because we know it has been sent by Krishna. Does it matter which male boy brings the letter? Doesn't matter. All that matters is who's sending it to us. When we get letters at home, it doesn't matter who's bringing it. All that matters who's sending it, right? We thank the person. We say, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. But then we spend more time opening up the envelope and reading the letter or whatever document has been sent. So similarly, who brings it doesn't matter. Who's sending circumstances in our life? That's what matters. What we do, someone who keeps us happy, we take them as friends. And someone who gives us pain, we see them as enemies. But they're simply mailmen. They're simply boys who are bringing the mail, the documents. But the document circumstance in life is being sent by Krishna. Are we all awake? Asleep? I'm a very boring speaker. Please forgive me. Kaviraj Goswami Pad mentions, only if we can see the hand of Krishna, everything is auspicious. Everything is auspicious. Krishna is the martial arts teacher. Sometimes he may embrace us and sometimes he may punch us only to make us better and stronger as devotees. His Holiness Bhaktichara Swami Maharaj used to give a very beautiful example. Can I share that with you? Yes? Maharaj used to say that sometimes when children are very small, the father plays with the child. And what does he play? How does he play? He picks the child and he tries to throw the child and play with the child, right? Have you all done and seen that, right? It's a common thing. I don't know if it's an American thing, but definitely in India I have seen that. My father has done that to me. Not that I remember that. My mother tells me he used to do that. So father or mothers, they play with the child. They pick the child and they throw the child and they embrace the child, right? Are they enemies of the child? They are not. But the first time when the father throws the child thinks, what is this? I came to get embraced by my father and here is my father throwing me. Right? You don't express love by throwing somebody out. Not that he throws him out of the cosmic creation, but he just throws him like two feet. Maybe 1 foot. The first time the child goes through that experience, he or she thinks, what is going on? But then when they realize the person throwing is the person waiting there with the open arm, the child gains confidence. Right? So multiple things happen. One, the father is playing with the child, but because the child doesn't know that, he feels fear. Similarly, Krishna, as our father, sometimes we as children, he plays with us and he's just playing with us and we think that's trouble. Why would my father do this? Why does God do these things? He's actually just playing with the child. Only if we understand the person who's playing with us is the one who's ready to hold us when we need, when we take shelter of him. Now, once the child understands that my father is actually playing with me, what do you think the child is going to do? Even when the father stops doing it, the child says, oh, please, more. Play with me more. And the father says, okay, one more time, okay. And, and then he stops and the child says, no, once more, once more. What's happening? Initially, the child didn't like it. But as the child understands, my father is actually playing with me. He doesn't hate me. And he's my protector. He's my maintainer. The child wants more and more and more of this. This is exactly what Queen Kunti is asking for. Oh dear Krishna, please give me more and more trouble, which means play with me more. Because I know every time I'm in the air, I'm looking down only at you for help. At times of difficulties, we only look up to Krishna. How many of us, when we are happy, we look up to Krishna? Very less. But when we are sad, even an atheist says, oh my God. You know, even in the science of acupressure and acupuncture, some pain is good. It relieves the body of knots. It relieves the body of pain. So Krishna gives that through circumstances. And it's not that he does it on his own. He's doing it only to facilitate our past karma. But we end up complicating, entangling circumstances more and more and more by blaming people around us. That actually he did it. Actually she did it. Sripad Ayendra Prabhu used to give a very beautiful example. Very, very beautiful. He would say, if you throw a bone in front of a dog, what does a dog see? What do you think the dog sees? Sees food, right? If you throw the bone in front of a dog, the dog sees the bone. Now try throwing a bone in front of a lion. What does the lion see? The bone? And very quickly the thrower of the bone. Right? He's going to see the bone and then immediately look at the source where the bone's coming from. And that's where he's going to focus. He's not going to focus so much on the bone. You throw the bone in front of the dog is just happy looking at the bone, licking at the bone, and analyzing the dimensions of the bone. Not so much about who threw the bone. He takes the bone and he forgets the thrower. But a lion is not like that. You throw the bone in front of a lion. The lion sees the bone for a second and an hour-long glance. It seems like that to the person he's looking at. So Sripad Ayendra Prabhu would say, this is the difference between the dog mentality and the lion mentality. What is that? Krishna throws the bone-like circumstances in our life. And if you're busy only looking at the circumstance and blaming the people in that circumstance, it's like analyzing the bone, licking the bone, looking at the bone with nothing to do about who threw the bone. But the lion circumstance, the lion consciousness is looking at the bone-like circumstance in life and very quickly seeing who threw that circumstance at me. And that is Krishna. So what consciousness do we want? Lion consciousness. Circumstance can be different. Sometimes, it's very interesting. Sometimes the bone can be thin and sometimes it can be big from a dog's perspective. So if it gets a little bone, it's unhappy. But if it gets a big bone, it's happy. But whether the bone is small or big, it doesn't matter to the lion because the lion is interested not in the bone, but the thrower of the bone. Is it not? So if we look at circumstances in life, sometimes the circumstance bone can be very small in the form of distress. And we are sad. Sometimes the circumstance bone can be very big and we are happy. And the person who gave it to me, if it's a happy circumstance, he's my friend. If it's a sad circumstance, he's my enemy. So we are analyzing and licking and tasting the bone-like circumstance in life and making friends and enemies in this world. But a devotee looks at the bone-like circumstance, whether it's thin and small or happy or distress-filled, doesn't matter. The person throwing the bone is all that matters, and that is Krishna, who never changes. Every single circumstance, details are different. So consciousness jumps up and down. When everything is good, consciousness is up. Everything is bad, consciousness is down. And like a pendulum, we go back and forth with mood swings. Is it not? Our interactions are different with different people depending on our mood. And that makes us very agitated because we are focusing on the bone so much. But if we focus on the thrower of the bone, that's never going to change. It's always going to be constant. If we love the thrower of the bone, doesn't matter what the bone is, we still love him. And that's the lion mentality. And to teach this, the Supreme Lord came as half man and half lion. He didn't come as half man and half dog. Nowadays, people are more interested in half man and half spider. Or half man and half bat. Batman. Spider-Man. But we follow Hanuman. Lion Man. Nrisingadev. So Kaviraj Goswami describes, just by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the lotus of our consciousness blossoms. And every associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like this. Each and every associate. They loved whatever came their way. How many of us have played Antakshari? Yes, at some point in your life. You don't have to feel embarrassed now. Like, well, I'm already initiated. What are the Vaishnavas going to think? He's putting Tilak in Kantimala and playing Antakshari. No, at least at some point in life, right? All of us have played. Some of us. Antakshari is that game where you start off with a syllable and you sing a song starting with that syllable. And then you end that song on a certain syllable and the next person picks up another song from that syllable. And it goes on. And if you can't, then you lose. And if you can, then you win. Something like that. I think so, right? Something like that. When we play that game, when we get a letter, do we fight, why this letter? Change the letter. Change. Do we say that, or you just sing a song, right? You just think about singing a song from that letter. You don't think about changing the letter. Let's say someone sings a song. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. And they say, Ra, at the end. Hare, so Ra. You don't say, why Ra, you know, why not Ka, why not Ma. You don't fight. You just think of what you can sing from Ra. Life is an Antakshari that Krishna is playing with us. Krishna is our friend, and friends play Antakshari. Every circumstance that comes our way is actually a syllable that Krishna is throwing at us. So we better start singing songs from that circumstance. We start singing the glories of Krishna at that circumstance. Instead of complaining why this happened to me. Instead of complaining why I got this syllable and not some other syllable. Why somebody else got a better syllable. I came to America on the same day as him. Why is it that his green card was approved before me? Not about why he got a better syllable. We got a syllable that Krishna has sent, and we are getting every circumstance is actually a new syllable. Krishna loves to play. Krishna loves to play. And we should learn to sing Krishna's glory starting from that circumstance. Oh, Krishna, thank you so much. Something so bad could have happened, but you're so kind to me. Thank you. Seeing Krishna's hand in everything, absolutely everything. When Srila Prabhupada would go for walks and disciples would go with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada one day saw a man doing jumping jacks, jumping jack on the park. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, that is exercise for the body and this is exercise for the soul. Chanting. So the disciple who was with Prabhupada, his perspective about jumping jack changed for life. Anytime and every time he saw somebody going to the gym or exercising, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Because he would always remember the chanting process from the jumping jack. Isn't that amazing? Connection to Krishna in every circumstance, whatever it may be. At every point connecting to Krishna. One devotee, I was honoring prasadam with him. And accidentally, while eating, he bit his tongue. And I think most of us have gone through that experience. Sometimes it can be excruciating depending on how sharp our teeth is. Now if we have bad teeth, then wonderful. But if we have good teeth, then it can be an excruciating experience. And he was in pain. He sipped some water and he looked at me and he said, who's at fault? The tongue or the teeth? It was very philosophical on a dining table. Very philosophical. I was sitting and honoring prasadam with him, something very light, and he just happened to bite his tongue, and he said, whom should I blame, the tongue or the teeth? I just continued honoring. And I was praying that I don't bite my tongue. He looked at me and he said, the tongue belongs to me, but the teeth also belong to me. So I can't chastise the teeth and take sides with the tongue. I said, agreed. He said, similarly, we all belong to Krishna. When one person does something wrong to another person, Krishna can't take sides one over another because everyone belongs to him. Somebody acts like a teeth and bites on a tongue-like person, Krishna's there with both. He loves everyone equally. Because we all belong to the same mouth of Krishna's compassion. And when he said that, it was very, very profound. And then he continued. And then he told me, to make it more juicy, he said, actually the mouth is Lanka. And he said, all the teeth are the demons, headed by Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shurpanakha, all of them. And he said, the tender tongue is Vibhishan. He said, when the teeth bites the tongue, does the tongue ever bite the teeth? No. Why? Because it can't. And he said, even when Ravana and Kumbhakarna were biting on the consciousness of Vibhishan, who's like the tongue, Vibhishan never bit back at them. Why? Not because he can, but because he couldn't. He doesn't know to retaliate. Tiraskrita, vipralabdha, shapta, kshipta, hata api, nasya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. The Bhagavatam describes Vaishnavas, because they see Krishna's hand in everything, they don't think of retaliation. They accept it. Tiraskrita, even when they're criticized. Haridas Thakur was criticized. Vipralabdha, when they're cheated. Pandavas were cheated. Shapta, even when they're cursed. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. Kshipta, even when they're ignored and neglected. Jada Bharat was ignored, like stone. Hata api, even on the brink of death. Haridas Thakur was whipped to departure. Jada Bharat was almost going to be killed as Narabali by the tribes. But they never think of retaliation because they see Krishna's hand. So he was explaining that Vibhishan is the tongue. And all the demons in Lanka are the sharp teeth. And Lanka is the mouth. Vibhishan did not leave Lanka, just like the tongue doesn't leave the mouth, because the teeth bit the tongue. The tongue doesn't leave the mouth. It stays there. And it doesn't lose its softness. It doesn't become, let me become strong now. It's enough. I have been so soft and the teeth have taken advantage of my softness. Let me become hard. The tongue doesn't think like that. And third, it never retaliates. And therefore, dear devotees, it is not the teeth which taste. It is the tongue which tastes the food. So when Krishna sends mercy, it's not the teeth which is tasting that rasa. It is the tongue-like hearts who can taste it. Let's ask ourselves. When you throw a pebble on the floor, what happens? Boop. Just falls there. Doesn't bounce back. It doesn't do anything. But you throw that same pebble in a clear, beautiful, wonderful, sweet water pond. What happens? Boop. And then there's ripples till the end of the pond, right? Just one pebble drop. So is it the glory of the pebble? Or is it the glory on the place where it falls? The place where it falls, right? Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually like a pebble. But if our heart is like hard rock, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam make no sense. Because they don't bounce back. Because our heart is dull. It's like boop. The verses of Bhagavatam, the stories of Bhagavatam, they're like pebbles. They just fall flat. Nothing happens when the heart is unprepared. It's barren. But when our heart becomes rasic, full of rasa, a pond of water, sweet devotion, every word of Shastra becomes a pebble, creating ripples of ecstasy in the pond of our heart. Does it make sense? So therefore, there is no question of blaming. There's no question of criticizing. There's no question of complaining. Whenever you write an email, you see CC and then you see BCC. Right? Which means if you take shelter of CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will overcome BCC. Blaming, complaining, and criticizing. And then the email that you write, the two is to Radha Madhav. And what is that email? The offering of our heart. When you send a letter, the letter is important, but the envelope is also important, right? You can't just send a letter without an envelope. Yet at the same time, if you send an envelope and the person opens and there's no letter, what's the point? So every practice of devotion that we execute, whether it's chanting japa, whether it's offering Mangalarti on the altar, whether it's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, whether it's hearing, whether it's honoring prasadam, whether it's building a temple, whether it's preaching, whether it's sweeping the floor, dear devotees, it is all like an envelope. They are activities. But what's the letter? The devotional spirit behind it, to please Krishna. Every circumstance, who is sending it? Krishna is sending it. So every circumstance, I have to send back. Dear devotees, human form, life in the human form is actually a love story. It's a love story between two lovers who are separated. Who are they? Krishna and us. Two lovers who have been separated for such a long time. Their attempt to come together, that is life. Human form, human life is actually a perfect love story between two lovers. And they have to write letters to each other to come together. And Krishna's writing beautiful, wonderful letters to get us back. We just need to reciprocate. We just need to write letters of affection back. So our devotion is the letter. And the expression of that devotion is the envelope. So we may be chanting japa, but if we don't feel for Krishna, if our heart is not there thanking Krishna for every breath that we get, it's like sending empty envelopes with no letter in it. Sometimes people get the other extreme. They say, well, why should I chant? I feel in my heart. So they may have the letter, but you need the envelope too to get it there. So we are in the material world. The destination address too is the lotus feet of Radha Madhav. Our chanting, our services is the envelope. And the devotional spirit behind that is the love letter. And this is possible only when we recognize Krishna's love. Otherwise, how can you love him? How can you reciprocate and serve him? When we think he doesn't love us, that's why he's giving us such problems. How can we serve such a person whom we think doesn't love us? Right? But when we are convinced Krishna loves us, that's when we feel like serving him with affection. Simple example. Simple example. Someone invites us for prasad, let's say, and gives us four hot rotis with paneer sabji, let's say. Sorry for giving this example at this time of the day. Yeah. I didn't plan it. Well, Krishna's just, as I told you, Krishna's the doer. I'm simply an instrument. He's giving me these examples. So let's say there's a Mataji who invites us for prasad and gives us nice hot rotis with nice tasty sabji. There are three responses we can give. One, eat, honor prasad, and ignore the hard work and complain about what's lacking. Have you seen people like that? Have you seen people like that? Ourselves so many times? Everything is perfect. But we take on salt being more in some preparation. And when the Mataji asks us, prasad kaise bana hai? How is the prasad? You say, this is okay, but you know, too much salt. What is this? Weren't you paying attention? That's one response we can give. And that's the worst response on the list. Because there's so much sweetness that we get, and we go blind to all of that, and we pick on the smallest salt preparation and make a mountain of that molehill. Even better response would be, when we see that, and they ask, how is it? And the person says, ye achha, bahut achha, ye bahut tasty hai. This is very nice. Isme mujhe lagta hai, thoda namak jyada ho gaya. So what's happening? The person is saying that there is more salt here, But at least he acknowledges that these preparations are tasty. Even higher than that in response is, everything is so wonderful. Thank you. Well, is that truth? That is truth, depending on how we see it. Because if we are concerned of what comes on the tongue, then this is salty and this is tasty. But if we see the number of hours that that Mataji has put in the kitchen, making those rotis, how much work she has had, taking care of the home, taking care of her husband, taking care of her two kids, maybe working an outside job, balancing so many other services in the temple, and still inviting us for prasad and spending 4 hours cooking what she cooked. That is sweet. Is it not? That is sweeter than the salt in the sabji. That's a way to look at it. And even higher than that is seeing in our heart, thank you, Mataji. But in the heart, saying, thank you for being an instrument. Who actually made this for me today? Radha and Krishna made it for me. They inspired this Mataji how many rotis to make. They inspired this Mataji with the ideas of what sabji to make. How did she get it otherwise? She got the energy to stand. She got the home where she could cook. She got all the ingredients by the money that Krishna gave. And she got the intelligence of what to mix where and how to cut, what should be the dimension and the shape and the size of the sabji, and what's the cooking time of the vegetables and what to put when, given by Radha Madhav in the heart. So who actually cooked it? Radha Madhav cooked it. Because they love us. So when we honor prasadam, that aspect of honoring prasadam can be bhakti, because we are tasting the love that Krishna has for us. At that moment, sitting in the prasadam hall, we are tasting, that moment, we are tasting what Krishna feels for us. That is the taste of Krishna's heart. What we are tasting is Krishna's heart. Krishna loves us so much that he has said, even if you don't chant, even if you have ego, even if you have lust, anger, pride, and all these anarthas, trust me, I love you. With all your anarthas, I love you. Krishna is telling us. Just like the child may pass urine and stool, but the mother still loves the child. In fact, the mother is the one who cleans the child, bathes the child, decorates the child, and now the child looks so attractive that the world, the neighbors come together and start playing with the child. So we are all like children, and Radha Madhav are our parents, and we are smeared with the stool and urine of our faults and our negative thoughts and activities and past mistakes, present mistakes, future mistakes. But guess what? They still unconditionally love us. And there's nobody who accepts us the way they do. And it's them who will clean us. It's them who will bathe us with their affection. It's them who will make us so attractive that people around us will come and talk to us. Because now the child looks attractive, not because of the child, but because the mother bathed the child. So dear devotees, you can honor prasadam in so many ways. Either you can honor and blame the person who did it and shout at them for what's missing in the plate. Or we can honor and thank them, but also say that this is where, you know, can be bettered. Or we can honor and just thank them that this was beautiful. Thank you. And even higher, we thank them for being instruments. 20% we thank them. But 80% in our heart, we are convinced. Who did it? Krishna did it. When someone comes and, let's say, gives us a gift. Let's say I go to Aryan's place. And let's say he gives me a dhoti and a kurta. I'm not giving you ideas, but I'm, you know, just as... Well, my dhoti is torn. No, I'm just joking. Just as an example. Let's say he gives me a dhoti and a kurta. Again, there are multiple responses. Either one, I can think, well, that's it. Where's the money? You know, come on, I'm coming to your home. Your dhoti kurta, even I can get it. Come on, give me something else. That's one way of being ungrateful. Even higher in gratitude could be, thank you. Thank you so much. But in the mind thinking, bas itna hi aur kuch dalte. But not saying it. Even higher in consciousness is, well, I didn't expect it. Thank you. Thank you so much. Aryan, you have so much affection for me. Or you could have given this dhoti and kurta to someone else, but you gave it to me. Thank you. And when I wear that dhoti and kurta, thinking that thank you, you gifted it to me. That's gratitude. And even higher in mood is who inspired him? Who gave him the idea to give what he gave to me? Radha Madhav. Radha Madhav in his heart said, take that kurta, take that dhoti, Neel Madhav Prabhu. So who inspired Aryan Prabhu? Neel Madhav Prabhu. And who inspired Neel Madhav Prabhu? Radha Madhav Prabhu. So we thank him for being the instrument, but at that point, our heart melts that Krishna loves me so much. He's thinking about me at this point. Otherwise, why would he send a dhoti and kurta my way? There are billions and billions of jivas. He could have sent it to someone else, but he sent it to me because Radha Madhav are thinking of me at this point. And they can use different male men and male boys to deliver their parcel, but actually it's being sent by them. And in such a state of consciousness, every single thing that comes to us, who's sending it? Radha Madhav are sending it. And therefore, with every circumstance, our desire to serve them just goes higher. And the desire to serve everyone around goes higher. Why? Because they were the one chosen by Radha Madhav to give it to me. Thank you so much. So the affection to them is not independent, but it's dependent on that affection that we have. Dear devotees, this is Krishna consciousness. There is nothing to worry. There's nothing to complain. There's nothing to blame. There's nothing to criticize. We as a community coming together with Radha Madhav, Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj as our center. We may have subtle differences in opinion. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Every circumstance that comes our way is being passed through these layers. Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna never makes mistakes. And Krishna is my ever well-wishing best friend. Life is a love letter, is a love story between two lovers who are separated. And he's sending his letters. But it's just that they're there in my mailbox and I'm not reading them. It's time to start reading them and decoding every circumstance in this perspective. Every single thing reminds us of Krishna. Mukunda, when he saw in Gauralila, when he would see the peacock fan, he would fall down remembering the peacock feather Krishna. The peacock feather on the head of Krishna. When Shripad Madhavendra Puri would see the rumbling of the rain clouds, he would fall in ecstasy thinking of Krishna's complexion. Every single person, every single circumstance is coming our way only to remind us of Krishna. Nothing else. There is no other purpose to life. Absolutely no other purpose. Final question. When you see a mango, do you remember its reflection? When you see a mango, do you remember its reflection? But when you see a reflection, do you remember the mango? All the time, right? The spiritual world is the mango. And this world is the reflection. By being in the spiritual world, we will not think of the reflection of this world. But by living in the reflection, it is only and only designed to remind us of the mango. When we hear the pastimes of Krishna, it is not to remember the pastimes of our child. The crawling of Krishna, oh, my baby also used to crawl like that. That's not the purpose of the Krishna book. The purpose of the Krishna book is when we see our baby crawl, we remember the crawling of Krishna. When we see the reflection, we remember the fruit. Every circumstance in life is the reflection, which is actually bringing us closer to the fruit, the lotus feet of Krishna. So let us start reading the letters that Krishna sends us every day. We are reading so many letters that people send us on WhatsApp. Every morning, karagre vasate phonam, karamadhyecha WhatsAppam, karamule tu Facebookam, prabhate phonadarshanam. The first thing before getting off bed and the last thing before we go into samadhi at night, it's the phone. And everyone gets about 70 messages in the morning.
And we feel, oh, I'm so popular. Everyone loves me. Everyone wants to write to me. Now you read 80% of those 70 messages, it's a good morning with a flower. It has no purpose, like. And many times it's just a foreword. May today be filled with the rose petals of affection, without the thorns of distress. Good morning, or something like that. So we are ready to read the messages that people of this world send us. When will we read the letters of our ever well-wishing best friend Krishna? And he doesn't come and give it to us. He sends it through people. And sometimes we complain, well, in the outside world, if people behave like this, I'm okay. But when Vaishnavas, devotees behave like this, I'm heartbroken. Right? We feel sometimes. But let us ask ourselves a question. If we associate with the outside world, the reactions that Krishna will send us will come through them. But if you associate only with the devotees, Krishna will send the reactions through the devotees. Very simple. Krishna has to send them to us. Now, if we live with the devotees, then he will send it through the devotees. It's not that the Vaishnavas are like that. It's just that Krishna is sending our reactions through them. So, dear devotees, Kaviraj Goswami, back to the point. One point we have been discussing for 1 hour. And that is, let us blossom the lotus of our consciousness. Let us overcome the lower tipping point of agitation. Let us stop seeing people as the reasons of our distress. Let us be convinced of the three principles that Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna never makes mistakes. Krishna loves me. Let us be convinced of the fact that we are in a martial arts school where Krishna is our martial arts teacher, and he may sometimes give us some punches only to make us stronger. Let us remember the analogy that every circumstance is actually an antakshari. It's a letter that comes our way, and let us sing Krishna's glory through that circumstantial letter. Let us remember the analogy that life is like standing in the line in the queue to get Charanamrit. Every circumstance is Charanamrit. It comes from Krishna, so we accept it. Let us remember the analogy that we want to have lion consciousness and not dog consciousness. The bone-like circumstances are important, but more important is the thrower of the bone, that is Krishna. And let us remember the final analogy that life is actually a beautiful love story. The story of two separated lovers, the Jivatma and the Paramatma. And Krishna is trying his best to get us back to him by sending beautiful, beautiful letters. And sometimes those letters are not very pleasing. Sometimes Krishna writes very strong letters. You fool, I'm writing so many letters to you, why don't you respond? In the form of distress. Have you ever seen a construction site? Many times you will see there are laborers and workers, and there is an engineer who walks around making sure everything is fine. And from the top, he's calling out to one of the people on the bottom of the construction site. Just imagine this in your heart. Think of a construction, under construction site, and a lot of laborers working. And there's a lot of infrastructure and machinery sound, noise. And there's an engineer on the top. And he's trying to get the attention of one of the laborers, one of the workers. And he's calling him by the name. But because the noise of the machinery is so loud, he can't hear the engineer. So what does the engineer do? He takes a pebble and drops it down. And this worker, he has a helmet, a yellow helmet. And the pebble, tong, it touches the helmet and he looks up. Why did the engineer drop the pebble? To hurt the person? Only to get his attention. Dear devotees, Krishna loves attention. Krishna loves attention. Think about the pastime of the kicking, where he kicked the cart, Shakatasur. Mother Yashoda didn't give attention. She put Krishna under a cart and was talking to everyone else. And the sound of the instruments were so loud that Krishna was crying for Mother Yashoda's attention and she wouldn't hear him. What did Krishna do? He just kicked the cart and the cart, it tumbled over. And everyone's saying, yes, Krishna's the one who kicked. Why did Krishna kick? Because he didn't like the cart? Because he wanted Mother Yashoda's attention. He was crying, but the sound of the instruments were so loud
that Mother Yashoda couldn't hear him. And then when nothing worked, Krishna kicked. And then Mother Yashoda left everything and came to Krishna. Exactly like that, dear devotees. Paramatma, Krishna in our heart, is crying for our attention. And the sound of the instruments of our planning in this world is so loud that sometimes Krishna has to kick the cart of our life only so that we helplessly run to him. So Krishna is like the engineer on the top who's calling out to us in an under construction site of this life that we live. And he's calling out to us through the Bhagavad Gita. And when we don't pay attention, he drops a pebble on our head. Boop! Not to hurt us, just to get our attention. So we don't have to wait for those pebbles. When Krishna calls us, we can look up. Then there's no pebble. So dear devotees, with all these analogies and with all these discussions, let us all come together as we are for all times to come, understanding what happens on a personal front, health-wise, economically, family, work, community, and society at large. Whatever happens to us, whenever, wherever, whichever place, whatever time, the details may be different, but the center of the bone is our well-wisher, Shri Krishna. And if we love him, there is no pain. We feel like serving him with gratitude for what he's sending our way. Thank you very much.